Chapter 7, Turkey. It was late in the evening and we drove straight to a hotel where Aaron had booked a room for me. I didn't mind at all sleeping on a couch or similar, but he insisted since I would be teaching in his gym every day. After having spent many nights already in plane seats and on uncomfortable couches, I had to admit that having a quiet hotel room with a nice bed all to myself was a great luxury. I threw my backpack on one of the beds and went to lie down on the other, enjoying the silence. There was no need to turn on the TV or my computer. I just enjoyed being alone in my own room for the first time since I left home. I knew this was something that would not happen often on the trip, so I savored every second of it. The bed felt like heaven. I had only traveled for 2 weeks and had more than 4 months left, but already I missed the feeling of having my own bed to sleep in. I hoped that I would get accustomed to sleeping weird places during the trip and forget about my nice bed at home. Only 3 guys had showed up for the class in the morning. I could tell that Aaron was a bit disappointed. He was working hard to build up the sport from complete scratch and would naturally meet a lot of challenges on the way. At that moment, all his focus was put into just trying to create a core group of dedicated guys and build from there. It was a lot of work, which I had been through myself when building up my own gym. I understood his frustrations. To me, it didn't matter if there were 2 or 20 people on the mat, though. I wanted to train with anyone on a trip, no matter the size of the group or the skill level. In my world, the interesting thing was to meet people behind jiu-jitsu, and even if there was only one complete beginner, he also had the potential to become a great friend. White belts are real people too, after all. The guys were enthusiastic and had a pretty good game for beginners. Aaron had put a lot of emphasis on breaking grips and defending the neck, and it had paid off. Even though they were white belts, they were hard to handle and submit because of this. Aaron liked food. So do I. Visiting him was like half jiu-jitsu and half food adventure. As eager as he was to train, he was equally eager to show me around to his favorite places to eat. "Do you like intestines?" he asked. I stopped for a second. It wasn't a question I was asked very often. I wanted to be adventurous about food on the trip, but intestines just sounded wrong. Especially after just having enjoyed a kebab so delicious, I felt like I could eat only that for the rest of my life. But I had to try everything. It was a rule I had made for myself, so I said yes while admitting to being a bit nervous about it. We drove downtown to Aaron's favorite intestine joint. The brown, unrecognizable mass was rolled up like a kebab, sliced off, chopped and fried, then put in a sandwich bread. I decided not to think about what it was and took a bite. It tasted like spicy, fat, tender chicken. I was surprised at how good it was and ate the whole sandwich happily, though I concentrated on believing it was just chicken. The flight onto Cyprus took only about an hour. It was a bumpy ride at low altitude, flying just above the clouds all the way. It was evening when I arrived. The same second I got out of the plane, I noticed a certain scent in the air that reminded me of vacations with my parents in the Mediterranean when I was a kid. It was warm and dry, similar to pine and grass. Selman, who ran the only gym on the Turkish side of the island, dividing Turkey and the country of Cyprus, had told me to take a bus to the university where he would pick me up. As I got off, he wasn't there. A young Turkish guy got off at the same point, and we stood there quietly in the night by the roadside for a few minutes before he asked me where I was going. He was an electrical engineer trying to get to the United Kingdom to find work, but it wasn't easy. He offered me a cigarette as he told me about his life while we were waiting. Him for a taxi, me for Selman. I kindly replied that I had never smoked in my life. He was friendly, and it was interesting to hear the story of a complete stranger I had just met. I wondered how many thousands of interesting stories I missed every day from people I walked past on the street but never talked to. Selman showed up. He had gotten me an apartment in a girls-only dorm house and made some joke about hoping that I was okay with that. No one else stayed in it during that time, so I had 4 beds, a kitchen, bathroom, and living room to myself. I slept like a baby in the small bed. The next morning, I stood out on the balcony, enjoying the morning sun. For the first time since I'd left home, I really felt warm. The cold weather in Romania and Moldova felt far away, and it seemed like my days walking in snow with freezing toes in my big winter jacket were finally over. In front of the house was a small field with a windmill and in the distance some big mountains. It was early March and I had started summer a little earlier than my friends at home in cold Scandinavia. A small matted room in the university sports hall, the classic photo of Helio Gracie hanging on the wall, was being used for the training. The 20 or so guys had a few technical questions I helped them out with, but most of the time we just rolled. The room was so quiet. I always play music in the gym at home and I hadn't trained one place on the trip yet with music. I really missed it. It was all beginners on the mat who had only a few months of training. Selman had studied a little longer than the rest and had a good understanding of the game, but obviously lacked experience in executing it. He needed higher level sparring partners in order to grow at that point, but with the enthusiasm they put into the training, it would only be a matter of time before they had a strong group there. I rolled to submission with everyone in the class. Being inexperienced beginners, they were going really hard to try and beat me. In return, I tried to prove a point of technique beating strength by going slow and relaxed. I lay down on my back and played an easy guard against all of them, letting them go all out to try and pass, while I spent little energy defending, sweeping, and submitting. The thought crossed my mind that it maybe wasn't a great thing for my knee injury to have someone pull my leg so hard, but I didn't feel anything going wrong at that point. The next morning, my body was tired from the long sparring the day before. I stumbled to the shower in an attempt to wake up. As I reached for the shampoo, I stepped forward a little bit and my leg buckled underneath me. A strong pain shot through my meniscus right where I had the injury. Biting my lip in pain, I was reminded how stupid it had been to let those guys go so hard on me the night before. I was starting to get pretty worried about the knee, and I felt the pain every time I bent my leg. It was a very real threat towards ruining my whole trip, and I couldn't cope with the thought of not being able to train like I had planned to. To fly from Cyprus to India, I had to do a stopover in Istanbul, so it was an easy choice to stay for a day and check out a gym there. As the plane descended towards Istanbul, I couldn't believe my bad luck. The whole city was covered in snow. In Cyprus, I was sure that I had finally put winter behind me, but it looked like I was going to have to deal with it for another day. Burak had emailed me the day before and said he would pick me up in the airport. He arrived just as I got through customs. It was pouring down as we ran to his car. The snow had melted quickly on the ground, and running over the parking lot got my shoes soaked in no time. The cream-colored cabin was cold, making me shiver for a few minutes before it heated up. Burak laughed and told me I had chosen to come the only day a year there was snow in Istanbul. I had gotten in touch with him online, a brown belt who was running one of the few gyms in town together with his friend Ertan, a professional MMA fighter. They were training and teaching full-time and working hard to try and make a living out of it. After showing me around town a bit and lifting weights in a super luxurious fitness center, we went to the gym in the late afternoon. It was one of the best looking gyms I had ever seen. Ertan was teaching the first MMA class of the night. I wanted to join in but had to be disciplined about my knee. It was still sore. The training was intense and the technical level pretty high. During a roll, a heavy guy tried to slam his way out of Ertan's back mount. I didn't understand the language, but it was obvious what was going on. He had a fight coming up and couldn't afford any injuries from inconsiderate training partners. He was furious and the big guy almost started crying while apologizing. Ertan threw his water bottle across the mat, and everybody was completely silent. He took a breath, slapped the big guy's hand, and it all ended with a hug and a laugh. I went outside for a walk. It was dark, and the snow was still falling. The sound of prayers could be heard from the speakers of a nearby mosque. I was thinking about how it would be in India the next day, hoping that my knee would allow me to train there. Burak came outside and asked me if I wanted to teach a little bit. I couldn't do anything else, so that suited me fine. I did a class on passing the guard. For a few years, I had been working on conceptually understanding how my friend Martin Aitmer from Estonia did his brutal pressure passing, also known as the guard passing from hell, and I had finally boiled it down to a recipe I could understand myself and even better to teach others. It was a good group of guys and there was some serious talent in between. I sat out and watched the sparring. There were some tough roles. It was a different training culture from what I knew from home, but nevertheless interesting to witness. That night, I was lying on an air mattress in Burak's apartment. I was dead tired, but there were so many thoughts in my head that I couldn't fall asleep. Would my knee ever get better? Where should I go after the Philippines when I'd used my last plane ticket? Would I stand a chance competing at the World Championships in California, or should I just skip it? I enjoyed the fast-paced traveling, only staying a few days each place, but on the other hand, if I got injured, I would quickly miss out on training opportunities like I'd done in Istanbul.